Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. As a beautiful music team just sang, that scripture enforces my hope is his word secures. What a blessing it is for me to be here today. The scripture we read is for many, including myself, a foundational belief of our system. In 1992, when my wife Diana and I were visited by some leaders of the church we were attending, prayed with us, and amazing grace entered our lives. We started attending that church, and I joined the men's group there, and we called ourselves Roots and Wings, and the foundation of the group was Isaiah 40:31. So as I was preparing this, I dug deep into the closet and found this 34-year-old shirt, and I thought, how appropriate. I'm gonna say a prayer. But I want to say something a little personal first. First of all, any of you that may be visiting and don't know me, Robert Jackson, I am a member here. I'm not on staff. Sadly, I'm not here as much as I would like, but the Lord has me in a spot that 35 times a year for the last four, I'm providing pulpit support, and it's been a journey. But I want to tell you that with all of that, I'm still a little nervous when I get in the pulpit, and I'm glad that I'm nervous. I don't want to be overly confident because it's not about me. So let me go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to present your word to these beautiful folks. Lord, my prayer, as you know, always, humble me. It's not about me, Lord, it's about you. Empower me to take your word and deliver it to these beautiful assembly here, and let your word speak to them individually as they need to hear it. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Last month, here in this community, a group of the best professional fishermen in the country came here and spent 4 days on this river. All of them had a great deal of hope they would win the prize. I never preach here if I don't pick on Bruce, so Bruce, I love you, brother. Bruce is my go-to pickle. Now, Bruce was there all 4 days, 12 hours a day or whatever he was doing, helping that event. In 1943, under the leadership of George Winslow, D.T. Whitehurst, and several others, an idea developed to start a new church right here at Rabbit's Corner. These men and women, no doubt, had great hope and determination. The men acquired the land and built a church and started services in 1946 under the first leader, Pastor D.B. Cruz. The best I can figure, using some longtime members here to help me, we we are guessing the charter members were about 30. So if we're going to talk about hope, we need to start where we always start, in Scripture. 1 Peter 1:3-6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Hope. We all live with it daily. The opening examples I gave were kind of show us there's two kinds of hope. There's worldly hope and the hope of believers. In a general sense, we all know what hope is. It's a feeling or an anticipation of a particular outcome, either of something we want to happen or something we don't want to happen. I hope I don't get the flu, but I hope I win the lottery. I got to play it first, but if I ever start playing it, I want to win it. Earthly hope is an expectation that we have. It may be something we very much want or do not want, but it does not consider God's will typically. I hope I get the job. Bruce and I, when we go out, hope we catch the big fish. Some of you hope you kill the trophy deer. We hope for good outcomes. I hope my child returns home safely. I hope I don't get sick. But see, here's the thing. Worldly hope contains some level of uncertainty or doubt. And let's admit it among ourselves, can be maybe selfishly motivated. Maybe. In other words, worldly hope doesn't always have a God point of view or have any real basis on what God can deliver. In short, as I said many times, it's selfish. But the believers, for us who are believers, it's a little different, right? See, the men who fished our river last month had hope. Of course they did. But they had no real basis for the hope. And I'm not saying these men are not Christians. Like Bruce, I follow the sport. And many of these men are very open about their faith. But the actions they undertook were not God-centered. It was for personal gain for them. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not belittling that. How about us? How about us right here today? We have read in the Scripture that I've asked the team to just leave it up there. In 1 Peter, that shows hope in action. But us simple men, that's me, what about if I want a clear biblical definition of hope? Well, that's in Hebrews 6:19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. What did it say? For believers, hope is an anchor. It keeps us steady and in place. Would it surprise you if I told you that depending on the translation of the Bible you read, the word hope appears between 150 to 180 times in Scripture. You see, we're going to talk more about this, but what we're going to see is the believer's hope is not some pie-in-the-sky wish, but a godly promise. In Scripture, hope is a godly gift because it has no doubt. There's no doubt attached to it. Always trusting in God's faithfulness and presence, no matter the circumstances, good or bad. Next week, we're going to talk about faith. Hope and faith are closely tied because both are based on trusting God and living according to what is unseen. Hope or faith, neither one. It's not tangible. I can't stick it in my pocket. I can't carry. I mean, there's nothing I can put in my hand. Both are godly promises. Just to kind of tease for next week, what else do we see in Hebrews that ties hope and faith together? Hebrews 11:1. A lot of people say Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, I believe. Hebrews 11:1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So let's sum up where we are now. Let's take a pause. The men who fished here last month had hope, but they could not have had faith that God would deliver them an earthly desire, an earthly prize. Frankly, a selfish desire. The 30 charter members who started this church in 1943 had hope, but the hope was grounded in God's word. Grounded, the anchor. I want to dig a little deeper in 1 Peter. We're going to dig into it and flush out what the meaning is for us today. I mean, that's the whole purpose of us studying, and that's the whole purpose of any preacher privileged to stand in a pulpit. How does this relate to and help us today? We're going to see that hope for Christians can be broken down in several areas. Living hope, future hope, present hope. So going right back there to the 1 Peter scripture. 30 years after Jesus Christ's resurrection, Peter wrote in verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hope through that resurrection. So Peter is telling us that we have living hope. He used the expectation of eternal life because Christ died and rose from the dead. And God has reserved for us the gift of eternal life. Just like that amazing grace that come upon Diana and I in May of 1992. That grace, that love, from that one moment in time, 2,000 years ago, we now have present hope right here today. We have it. Can't nobody take it away from us. And God in his mighty power will make sure that you get there safely to receive it, the eternal gift. Because you are trusting in him. You have faith in God and what he promised. There is what Peter is showing here, there is solid, godly, promise, joy ahead. And he says later, even though the going may get a little rough right about here, right here in this world, might get a little tough on us. Hope, as a Christian, based on godly promise, can help us stay motivated when that road ahead is rough and a little uncertain. And it's a way to stay connected to the higher purpose and to stay positive in the face of adversity, positive in the face of adversity. Peter is driving the point home. A living hope is a hope that never dies. It never dies because it is Christ-focused based on that event that happened on that cross. And it never dies because we know that that cross didn't win, did it? The cross didn't win. That physical piece of wood, it didn't win. Christ lives today. The second hope Peter talks about is future hope and includes a promise of a better tomorrow in verse 4. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, my friends. We have a promise not only of a living hope, but also of a better tomorrow. We have the hope of a future inheritance. Another certainty. We're going to die, and then we will gain a better inheritance. This heavenly inheritance, better than any and everything this world has to offer. This inheritance is perfect, and promised to all of us. It is kept in heaven for those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Through Jesus Christ, we've gone from having nothing to having everything. New life, new hope, eternal insurance, eternal inheritance in heaven that absolutely nothing can destroy. It's impossible. People who have an inheritance are typically called heirs. The Bible says we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. This means that all that God has is ours. Heaven itself is part of that inheritance. Our future home, where all that is wrong on earth will be set right and we'll enjoy God's presence forever. The third hope that Peter talks about, present hope, is in verse 5 and 6. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in that time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice. And here's that warning again. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So Peter has told us of the hope we have in heaven with our Savior forever. But he's also telling us of the hope we have now. God has promised to shield us with his power when we walk in faith with him. What greater hope could we be given than the knowledge that God's power guards us from within, right here, to preserve us for that inheritance of salvation that will be revealed to us? As believers, we have salvation now, but we will have eternity when Christ returns. Eternity. What are we seeing and learning here? It's our hope that is carrying us through our Christian walk. Our instincts are this. Hope comes from us holding firm to God and his faithful promises. That's what we're all thinking here, right? I'm holding, Lord, I'm holding on to you. It's not us holding on to him. It's him holding on to us. Hold on to daddy's hand, men will say to their kids as they cross the street. And they would. But if out of forgetfulness or fatigue, the child loosens their grip, it wouldn't matter because dad's got him. He was holding their hands the whole time and would never let go. So too, we think we're holding on to the Lord, but in reality, he's holding on to us. We're protected by his power, not ours. Personal story. Late 90s, we did this thing where we got all the families, all the extended families. It must have been 15 of us. We rented a big house in Tennessee on a lake. Several of us in the family had boats. We just had a big week. And one of those days, my dad and I and my brother got to talking about the old days. We used to go up in the mountains and wade and stream fish. And we said, hey, let's do that. So we piled into the truck. Brendan was 8 or 9, thereabouts. We took off. Didn't know where we were going. And saw a stream and said, hey. Pulled over to the side of the road, went down there, started doing our thing, having a big time, and my brother-in-law was with me. Me and my brother-in-law were in the middle of the stream. Brendan was more to the edge. And I heard a noise, and I looked over at my brother-in-law and said, what is that noise? He said, I think the wind just picked up. No, we were downstream of a dam. And they opened it. Lord. Well, my dad and my brother ran to the shore. I mean, they were pretty close to the shore already. My brother-in-law came over toward me, the water, and I looked over, and there was Brendan, and I reached over, and I grabbed that youngin's hand, and he was just like this. Just like what we read. We were going somewheres together. If I couldn't hold on, or if I couldn't get him out of there, wherever the river was taking us, me and him were going. I won't let him go. Of course, it all worked out, but God ain't letting go of us, guys. What somebody tell me the other day, that famous saying, God's my co-pilot. Well, if he's your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. No, man, he got to drive. And that's what he wants. You know, I think all of us go through this period where we hear of friends and associates, neighbors, having severe issues of some type. And most of us will say it's sad that anyone like that who only has earthly hope can in reality have hopelessness. What's their hope based on? Their hope's the same as if I stop and buy a lottery ticket today. Without hope and without God in the world. But the believer's hope cannot be hindered by anything in this life. We know what we have safely stored. Here's a favorite, no doubt your favorite part of the message, what I call the conclusion. I talked to Richard yesterday. He said I had the full hour and 15 minutes, but I'm not, I'll take 10 minutes off that, Brother Richard. How do we move forward? Again, I know Sean is like this. I know Richard, CD are like this. I'm never going to end any message I do without something practical that we can use just as soon as we walk out that door. So where are we? The 30 men and women who stepped out in faith, and we're going to get into detail about that next week, and started this very church, not only had hope, but they had faith. The faith that is founded in God's word and promises, and the faith that resulted in all of us standing right here 80 years later. 80. The men that were on this river last month, they had hope, but they had no basis or reason to have faith. To have faith in what they would be able to do. Oh, Bruce knows. He and I keep. They had the best boats. They had the best equipment. Their skills were good. They were fully equipped to do what they came here to do. They had the godly promised faith that one of the 100 that stood out, that went out there, would win the 100 grand. They had hope. They had worldly hope. What about you and I? How do we move forward? I have a new motto in my life and my ministry that the Lord's put me on now. Keep the main thing the main thing. The first thing we need to do, right now I'm going to surprise some of you men, maybe even some of you ladies, but I'm going to really surprise some men. You got to step back and give God control. As the song says, let Jesus take the wheel. We don't drive it too good, guys. We got to let God take the wheel. We need to move toward the real main thing. And prayer, trust, faith, dependence. I'm also in a period, mainly due to all the different churches I support in the pulpit, and like many men that I can see in this room today, being in the prison every week. Sometimes we mere mortals can make our faith a little harder than it needs to be. Give me grace. Yes, we need to study this. We need to understand this. I'm not saying that, by no means. What I am saying is, from the beginning, from Genesis chapter 1, God created man to love us unconditionally. What does he want back? He wants us to love him unconditionally. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to depend on him. He wants us to trust him. He wants to be our whole life. Not this little bitty part, or not like some of us for a long time. You can have 90% of it, but I'm keeping this little corner to myself. He wants it all, folks. It truly is that simple. We have seen today there's a clear definition between earthly hope and godly hope. I've said it a lot today. I'll say it one more time. There's no firm foundation or basis for earthly hope. It's strictly by chance. With godly hope, we also have no control, but we have assurance that the hope will come through our Lord and Savior. Finally, why do we need godly hope? Why? Hope strengthens us when trials come. Our God-based hope keeps us from giving up. Hope fuels joy. Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Hope points us forward. It reminds us that, as Peter said in verse 6, present suffering is here, and we may all be dealing with it. But that ain't the end of the story, guys. Ever since Diane and I became part of this church in around 2007 or so is a good guess, I've been so impressed that every leader we've had has emphasized we are a praying church. We are. So I'm assuming we're going to have more music, right? The music team's coming back. Music team, please. As they come forward in this last song, search your heart. Do you need to come and pray and learn what this godly hope is? Maybe you need to come and renew your hope. Pastor Richard's right here. If you need prayer or you need someone to pray with you, as soon as the service is over, Pastor CD will be in the prayer room. If you prefer private prayer, you can go in there. We came here when Max Edwards was here. I always loved that Max would say, "This is your altar to come and reconnect." Please, if you need to do that, come. Team.